The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. We are back 3 days after free agency began, and I'm glad we waited that extra day. I know we usually release our episode on the night we're recording, or the day we're recording, which is Thursday night here. Due to some technical difficulties, we had extended the day, but it's a couple of big news things dropped, so it's a good thing we did, so we can react to it today. I'm Big Z, and the other member of our Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here tonight is UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
All right, UJ, some transformative things going on in the last couple days for the Lions on their march to the 2024-2025 season Super Bowl. But before we get all the free agency stuff, just really quick, is that the Lions decided to extend, easy decision, I think, Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes to the 2027 season, which we're not shocked by. We're obviously very happy by that. But do you have any other really feelings about that? And Chris Spielman staying along too for a while.
I was glad to see Spielman stayed, and I think those guys deserved an extension and a raise. I hope they got a hefty raise. They've done more for this team than any coaching staff in memory. So they deserved it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just had to mention it. It was pretty, it's pretty straightforward. If they didn't stay around here for a while, we would have major issues. So obviously the big news this week was NFL free agency. Ooh, yeah. It's always a fun time. I think the NFL does their free agency like in a way that makes it fun for the fans. A lot of the news just drops like in a week. Usually it's like baseball these days is like there's still some of the top players that have been signed and they're almost ready to start the season in 2 weeks. NBA, they're pretty good about it. NHL, they're okay. But either way, I think the NFL does it the best. Keeps it interesting in a dead period. And a lot of fun stuff came along this week. UJ, I want to start with the one actually today because I think it's the most exciting of all the signings that we made. Not even the trades or the people we're keeping. But DJ Reader deciding to come to Detroit. He was formerly with the Bengals, before that with the Texans. And this is a guy that will, if the Lions already weren't, if some people didn't consider him a top five run defense, they absolutely will be now, if not a top three, if not the best run defense in the NFL. This guy is a run stuffer. Think of like Snacks Harrison when he's good for us the 1 year and what he did. DJ Reader's done it longer, probably better. He's okay in the pass game, but the Lions gave him 2 years, 20.2 years worth a maximum of $27.25 million, over $9 million guaranteed. 6'3", 335 pounds. UJ, what do you think about this free agency signing? Obviously, I'm in love with it.
I'm in love with it too. We actually signed a fairly big name free agent for a change. You know, people don't expect that. And I expected when he came to Detroit, and he was going to do the physical. You know, they'd look him over. I wasn't really expecting much. I didn't expect the news to come out almost immediately that they signed him. And I was pretty excited. The way they're putting this defense together in free agency is kind of fascinating. And they've really done a lot of help for our D-line, I think, by addition and subtraction. So, yeah, this is boding to be a pretty good defensive line, I think. Not perfect, and we could probably still use that super edge guy, but
yes,
it's going to be a very potent, tough D-line. Like you said, Z, I totally agree with you. This is going to be one of the best run-stopping defenses in the NFL. And, you know, despite the fact that it's a passing kind of game, stopping the run is just still one of the most important things to do in football. If you can consistently stop the run, you make teams one-dimensional, which the Lions basically did last year for the most part, and they're trying to continue that. So,
oh, definitely. Yeah.
Boy, I love the signing. Love it.
Yeah, it's a really fun signing. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, he came to the facility. I think a big reason for his visit wasn't necessarily to entice him. It was actually for the Lions staff to get comfortable giving him this big of a contract. So week 15 last year, he tore his quad, tore a tendon in his quad, I should say.
Right.
And that's the second time that's happened in his career. He has missed a lot of games. So this is, in some ways, I think that's why there's only $9 million guaranteed in the contract. There's a lot. It's a very incentivized, like,
yeah,
got to be healthy to get fully paid type of contract, because he's missed a lot of games. So if the Lions want to, you know, sit him out a couple games early in the season, get ready for that playoff run, I think we'd be okay with that. Because you got to get this guy healthy into the playoffs, because he's a wrecking ball.
Can I add to that too, though?
Yeah,
I know that they're doing this thing where they're signing guys with an injury history, but when they're healthy, they're just like studs. I mean, but I think the way the Lions handle their players during the season, and given the depth we seem to be gaining on this team, they don't have to rely on this guy to carry a team or anything. He's just going to enhance the team. So they're going to be careful how they use him. They're not going to use him 60, 70 plays a game. You know, I'm guessing he'll play 20 to 25 plays a game, maybe 30 on a good day. You know, I think if they use him wisely, he's just going to be an unbelievable addition for this team. So I think the way they use people is important when you consider the injury history.
Absolutely. Go back and watch some of his YouTube highlights. They're out there. He's not a flashy player. He's not like a guy that's getting 10 sacks a season by any means, but he is constantly double teamed, especially in the run game. And this is going to free up those linebackers, dude. That's what gets me excited for, as far as like Dan Campbell's progress. This is gonna be massive for him. Not getting those offensive linemen to the second level is huge. And Reader is just like an immobile object on the line of scrimmage. He is an absolute monster. But he just got to stay healthy. If you see the stats for the Bengals last year, there's equal amount of snaps with him on and off the field. I think they gave up like 0.7 yards less per run. The stats are very much in his favor in terms of how much better they were with him on the field than off the field. And the Bengals defensive coach, Lou Anarino, I forgot how you say his last name. A lot of glowing reviews from him. As well. So this is really exciting. So you got him, Aleem, Hutch, and then maybe a rotation of guys on that edge still, with either Pascal, Davenport, Houston, etc. Davenport. So that was, you know, I'll leap to that. That kind of leaps into another free agency sign we had. Marcus Davenport. Don't freak out, people, if you think this is what the Lions are hoping to be their solution to the edge. 1 year, $6.5 million deal. Played only 4 games last year for the Vikings. But when he is fully healthy, he can be an absolute wrecking crew, like you were saying. But you went back and watched some of his tape from
I did from 21 and 22. They've been out there all over the internet. And I'll tell you, when this guy's healthy, he's just like, he tosses offensive linemen. It's incredible, his power. It's just phenomenal. And I hope we get that healthy version of him. If we do, I think Lions fans are going to be very excited about this signing. He's going to wreck some people, man. And along with that, and the new surgeons of Pascal and As for D line, I think we're, you know, feel good about this line right now. I mean, hopefully we can make another addition to the edge rushing position, but I feel fairly good about it right now.
Yeah, one of my buddies, UJ, made a good point. What do you think this? Sorry to leap back to what we were just talking about, but I forgot to mention it. The signing of Reeder for 2 years. What do you think this means for Broderick Martin's progress and how they view his progress? Because he hardly played last year. When he did, it wasn't good at all. Do you think they're a little concerned about his progress?
I don't know about that. I think he's a project, and it's only been 1 year. I don't think they're gonna like give up on the guy. But I watched the interview with Reeder when he got signed. I don't know if you saw that.
I've not watched it yet. No,
he's a really interesting guy. Just a humble kind of. But he really talks a lot about teaching and helping guys, and being part of the solution and stuff like that. I could see him being the type of mentor to to Martin.
Absolutely,
that could help him and help all these guys. Really, I mean, just having his experience on that field, and I tell you, these guys, they do their due diligence when it's coming to the personalities of these players. I just always like watching them talk because they don't always have to be like sound like Einsteins or anything like that. But you can tell by their personalities and the way they are and how they love the game. And this guy, he fits the mold, I think, what Campbell's looking for. So.
Oh, yeah. I love that you said that, the mentorship, too, because he's known as like a really good locker room guy around the league. So that is a great point. And then back to Davenport. Sorry to go back. Davenport, his best years, the 21-22 that UJ mentioned, and the start of his career. Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell were on the Saints at that time. So they're very familiar with Marcus Davenport's game. And I think you'd think that Glenn can get the best out of him because he was there when they were getting the best out of him. So.
Yeah, and another, and again, DetroitLions.com has all these interviews with these players after they sign them, and the Davenport interview is pretty interesting too. Guy's a hard time getting a few words out once in a while, but he seems like a good personality. And he talked about his time with Campbell there in New Orleans and Glenn, but he said one time Peyton was out for a game or something like that. Campbell had to fill in as the interim coach for a day or a week or something like that. And he says, he comes in and all he remembers is Campbell came out and gave a speech. Like, and he's like getting all excited. Like, holy Jesus. Like no one gives, they don't give speeches. Like Peyton must not be much of a speech guy. Some of these coaches aren't, I guess, but he says Campbell got them all roused up and stuff. He just remembers that. I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh man, that's fantastic. Dan Campbell, man, we're lucky. We're really lucky to have him as our coach. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's amazing. So going on to the next move, I should probably go to the next big one that happened, which was Carlton Davis coming to the Lions. The Lions make a trade with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Carlton Davis, we also got a sixth rounder this year from the Bucs. And then a 2025 sixth rounder from the Bucks. Not sure if it's pick 200 or 220 from the Bucks. I don't know if that's been clarified yet. Those are both six rounders.
It's pick 201, I think.
Okay, so 200. And then we gave up our 2024, so this year's third round pick. And there you go. And it's our 92nd overall third round pick, not the later one from the Vikings. So. Anyways, Carlton Davis, second-round pick from the Vikings, last year of a three-year, $45 million deal with the Bucs. He's 27 years old, and they played a lot of zone over there in Tampa. How familiar were you with Carlton Davis, UJ, and have you been able to study on him?
Not too familiar, but again, I watched his interview. Like typical cornerbacks of his ilk, they're very confident. I think they can cover anybody. He's projecting himself to be a lockdown corner. Got to be on that one side that no one can throw to,
Yeah.
And that's his confidence level. But I've seen a little bit of his video, and he's a solid corner. He's definitely an upgrade from what we've had. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a opinion on this. I haven't watched enough of his tape, I should say, but he's definitely an upgrade from what we had. So I'm excited to have him.
Definitely here. An upgrade because now you have him and Sutton on the two edges. Carlton Davis, it's hard to peg him because coming out of college, he's seen as more a guy that like plays very physical in terms of like at the line of scrimmage, like very, very like press man coverage type stuff. And then he goes to Tampa and they play a lot of zone in Todd Bowles' game, a lot of cover three, a lot of zone. So I'm surprised that, you know, he was able to perform so well. And I think the Lions see that skill set. Because this is a guy that can like lock up with the likes of AJ Brown. You know, I can't say Cam Sutton necessarily matches up with an AJ Brown type as well. But either way, I think with this trade, the Lions are saying, well, we saw Sutton last year not perform well as a number one cornerback. I think they're to give Carlton Davis that shot. Would you agree, UJ?
Absolutely. As the number one? Yeah. Yes. I think Sutton would be much more comfortable in number two anyway. It would fit his skill set better, I think.
You know, I'd agree.
So, yeah.
I'd agree.
Definitely.
Yeah, because a lot of they said he had an up and down year last year, Carlton Davis, but a lot of the Tampa Bay Bucks fans, from what I read, were still sad to see him go, but they wanted to get something for him while he was on last year's contract, I guess. So kind of mixed thoughts from their side of things. But nonetheless, the Lions get another cornerback. So with these moves, UJ, because the Lions also signed, before I get to the draft question, I guess, the Lions also signed a guy named Amik Robertson from the Raiders. And you got the chance to watch some of his highlights, right? I have not been able to dive into much.
I did. This guy's exciting, man. I think the fans are going to love this guy. He's smaller. He's, what, I think, 5'9 or something like that, but maybe.
I think his coach said he's. He thinks he's above 6 feet tall the way he plays.
Yeah, but man, his highlights are awesome. I mean, and then you get the endorsement from the guys like Max Crosby and stuff on that team, how they love this guy and how he plays so hard and things like that. It says a lot about his character as a football player. So, yeah, if you get a chance, go out and watch the films. I think you'll like what you see with this kid. Like I said, he's small, but he's a little dynamo, man. He's going to make things happen in that field. So, I mean, with these two signings, we really helped our secondary a lot. Yeah. And like I said, by subtraction, too, Jacob's gone. And let's see, who else did we lose? Lucas. Well, he didn't do much that year. But, these two guys are going to help us out, definitely. And I think all this is leading up to where we're going, Big Z, and how this affects the draft and all.
But, right, just and a little more on Robertson. The Lions giving him a 2-year, $9.25 million contract, only 4.5 guaranteed, which is pretty good considering his production last year. He's only 25, started all, he was a regular starter for the Raiders last year, played in all 17 games, 50 tackles, 6 passes defended, 2 picks, and a sack, and a forced fumble. Per PFF, he allowed 40 catches on 64 targets for 445 yards, 3 touchdowns. And an 85.7 pass rating. So pretty good. This is definitely like a Lions type guy. Just especially in their DBs always seem to have a little more personality on the Lions thus far in the Brad Holmes era. Brad Holmes says DBs is bread and butter. We've yet to kind of see that to a degree. But he is smaller, but he is speedy. I think he could be a matchup guy as well for Lions when they're facing the likes of a Tyreek Hill type, because 4.45 40 at his pro day. So the man can run. The man can fly.
Yeah.
Anyways, and now, UJ, the draft question. So with these big moves, has your mind changed on who the Lions are going to target in the draft?
No, it's solidified my opinion.
Okay. What's that?
My opinion is in the first round, we're going to take the best offensive lineman out there. Mm-hmm. And I think it could be that center kid from Oregon, maybe.
God, I hope he's there.
I don't know. Oh, man, I hope he is too. But he's getting so much hype right now. I'm afraid.
Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah. Just a mauler.
He'd be a perfect fitness offensive line. I think better than Jonah Jackson, even.
Because I think Campbell and Holmes, they know they have to rotate some new blood into this line because, you know, Decker's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Sewell's going to get signed here. Ragnow, you know, with his injury history and everything.
Right.
We have to keep feeding some new blood into this line. And this is the perfect time to do it now that Jonah Jackson left. And maybe we can fill his spot with a capable rookie. That would be amazing. So I'm really, in my mind, sure they're going to go for an offensive lineman here.
Do you think the Lions would trade up
these
for
moves
him
they made?
If he's in that range.
Yes, absolutely. I think they would.
I'm trying to think what they would give up. I don't get to think about that, but I you know, maybe like a fourth or something, or a future fourth, but.
I can't answer that question, but I Holmes has already showed he's willing to move up or down or whichever way he has to go to get his guy. So, I mean, don't count him out for anything.
But they never had to go up this high before.
Like
from the bottom to the top, this would take a new level of leaping for them.
Well, that's true. But all these defensive signings have made it easier for him not to have to worry about a defensive player.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to take the best athlete available. But still, I think even in his mind, you know, there's still needs a team has. You
so
know?
What if a guy like Chop? So let's say Jackson Power is gone, Jackson Power Johnson, and then a guy like Chop Robinson is there instead. Do you take him? Or do you still go for the lineman on board?
I'm not 100% sold on Chop Robinson yet, but assuming he is really good.
Or the D tackle. Out of Florida State.
There's a couple O linemen out there. I want O linemen. I mean, in my heart, I want an O lineman, the best O lineman we can get.
It's definitely a hole. Definitely something that needs to be addressed.
It's our strongest feature of this team. It's what drove this team last year. That offensive line allows everything to happen on that field. It allows Goff to get his time to throw. It allows his receivers to move around. Allows the running backs to run. I mean, I still remember a couple of plays. There's one play in particular. I don't even remember against the San Diego Chargers. And I'd never forget it. It was about an 8-yard gain. But the whole line, O-line, pushed the D-line back like 6 yards before the running back ever got touched by a defender. And the whole line, the whole complete line was moved 6 yards down the field. No one penetrated at all. It was like a steam shovel or like a bulldozer.
Right.
It was the most amazing thing I ever saw. No, we need to keep that going. We have to. So
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the line is the heart and soul of this team. It's the first strength of this team in this rebuild. You know, even when everything was kind of, you know, not great, that was reliable. There was a lot of other issues going on. But no one ever questioned the strength. It defined this team in a lot of ways. I couldn't agree more. I think, especially after this free agency, I really want him up Bailey. And I think I want him too much. And I think other teams are going to see that.
I know.
Right. But
there's a few other good ones out there. I haven't done my total deep dive into it yet, but. Yeah, he's my favorite too right now. There's no doubt about it. There's some other good ones out there. We'll see.
As far as the other moves the Lions made, obviously, you know, the people we've signed back. I can't remember if we discussed on our last one or not, but I mean, everyone we signed: Glasgow, Reeves, Maben, Manuel Mosley, Michael Badgley, Skipper, Khalil Dorsey. Mm-hmm. They're all back. Looks like Anthony Pittman is no longer with the Lions, unfortunately. Looks like he's going to Washington. Jonah Jackson, we mentioned him. There's the hole. We mentioned him for a reason. 3 years, $51 million to your Rams, Kid J. Kid J, really quick, what do you think of the move?
I am absolutely ecstatic and pumped about it. It's going to be amazing. I think like Jordan Rodrigue, the Athletic Rams writer, she coined it like Wall and Maul, with like all the three guards inside there, or three offensive linemen inside there, with Dotson, Avila, and Jonah Jackson now. So I think the Rams are just going to run up the middle and just like push back defensive lines and just own the line of scrimmage. I think they're going to be a fun offense to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Reading. Leave the hype, man.
Yeah, they really leaned into their run game last year, especially in the second half of the season, to try to keep Stafford clean. So, I mean, that's a good sign. I mean, $17 million is a lot. I think the Lions knew they were going to get that out of him. That may be a slight overpay, in my opinion. Jackson's good, but I think he's the most replaceable out of our starting five. Well, besides the right guard, because we already were playing like replacement there. But definitely, you can't pay every single guy in the line top money. It's just not possible. So if I had to pick one to go, that's definitely the one. You know, we'll miss him. We loved his, you know, what he brought to the team, but we knew the writing was on the wall already with that one, pretty much. But Eno Jones with the Dolphins, CJ Gardner-Johnson's going to the Eagles on a 3-year deal. For way more money than I would be comfortable paying him, especially. So, you know, the Lions had $29 million in salary cap space left before the DJ Reader signing. I'm not sure what the cap hit for Reader is this year yet. I do not see it on here. It's probably going to take a day or two to process. But I'm assuming they'll have around $20 million left. And that is before the Goff and Amon-Ra contract negotiations hit. So I'm not sure how many moves the Lions have left in free agency, maybe a couple smaller ones. I can't imagine something to the DJ Reader level at this point. Eric Armstead, people are talking about coming to Lions, but he is going to the Jaguars, I think, most likely. I don't know if that's official yet. That would have been cool. I would probably prefer him slightly over Reader, personally, just because he adds more in the pass rush. But at least Reader does one thing elite. But anyways, I mean, I'm still very happy with him. Don't get me wrong. But Armstead would be cool. Anyways, the other big question out there is, does Josh Reynolds come back? He's clearly still kind of searching for a slightly better deal than maybe the Lions are willing to give him right now. Because I thought if he was coming back to the Lions, he would be signed by now. So the fact he isn't makes me think.
Maybe if he didn't drop those balls, he'd be signed now.
Yeah, we'll be in the Super Bowl. We won the Super Bowl. So that'd be a completely different conversation we're having right now.
Yeah.
Joshua. You know, he only dropped three all year before that game. Three all year.
I know.
Dropped two in the biggest game.
The bad time.
Horrible. But we're not going to get over until next season starts. I mean, he's definitely the biggest one that kind of remains out there in terms of ex-Lions. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens there because, I mean, this is a pretty deep wide receiver class too, UJ. Do you think the Lions, everybody's like, Lions need to prove in the draft defensively. Well, they went out and got a lot of free agents. So maybe the answer in the draft will be offense. Maybe they do get a wide receiver in the second round that's still like pretty capable, not, you know, a Dunze or Malik Nabers type at the top of the draft or Marvin Harrison, but like McConkey from Georgia. You know, I doubt he makes it to the end of the second round, but just people like that. It's a pretty deep wide receiver class. Do you think the Lions would target a wide receiver in the second round possibly?
It would not surprise me at all. I think they want to bring some new blood into that group also. And maybe that's why they're holding out with you know, Reynolds. I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me if they picked one there. Not at all. Not a bit.
It's always nice to be in a draft, UJ, when you when there's a lot of top quarterback prospects and we don't need one. Because then that just makes a couple of the better players fall a little further than they might in a typical year. Like J.J. McCarthy, I know I brought him up, but like maybe in a typical, like if it's not a quarterback need a year, he falls a little more, but he's going to go in the first half of the first round. And then obviously the other top three quarterbacks, May Daniels and Caleb Williams, are all going to go up there. So hopefully that works in the Lions' favor. I'm trying to think, I mean, UJ, free agency wise, is there anything else you wanted to hit on or any other thoughts about how the Lions, because, you know, the Lions have signed, like, Reader's a big signing, but he's not really a huge signing. Like, he's not Christian Wilkins 95 million or $100+ million contract that the Raiders gave out. I would have loved to see Wilkins, but the Lions are building their team through the draft and trying to build depth through free agency. They're not trying to, you know, sign one guy that's equal to two people on a team. They're going for high quantity / quality over super high quality. Yeah. The way they're building their team reminds me a lot of what we've seen the Packers over the years do. Build through the draft, stick to the long-term plan for each guy. Because the Packers are another team, don't really make big splashy free agency moves. Now they made arguably a super questionable one this offseason, paying $14 million for a running back. Which I didn't understand. That Aaron Jones is gone. Aaron Jones switched to the rival Vikings, and now Josh Jacobs is going to the Packers at double the money Aaron Jones is being paid, even though I think Aaron Jones might be the better running back, or at least equitable. And then speaking of running backs, Saquon and rivals, Saquon Barkley also going from the Giants to the Eagles. That pissed off a lot of Giants fans, which was funny to me.
I bet it did. Anything you do to piss off an Eagles fan is fine by me.
But either way, the point is the Lions have, ever since day one of the Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell era, they have stuck to a plan. A lot of short-term free agency contracts, like the longest, you know, these are two-year deals or less. They really just want to get the big long-term ones, the guys they drafted. And build in house. I mean, there could be a rare exception, but I mean, 2-3 year deals, mostly 2-3, I think, just for a couple guys. But they just want that, because in the NFL, there's so much turnover, it's crazy. And you don't want to be stuck with these like big contracts later on that are just going to bite you in the ass, like we've seen with some of these, like the Chargers had to let a top wide receiver go, Mike Williams, because they just couldn't afford him anymore. They paid too many of the other guys. They had to restructure Bosa's contract. That's going to hurt them later, I'm sure, with dead cap money, etc. But it goes on and on. I really like the way the Lions have positions. We mentioned on previous podcasts too, like the salary cap space the Lions have in the next year and the following year after that is tops in the league. I think that's a lot of credit to Mike Disner, obviously Brad Holmes, and everyone in that front office that have structured these contracts. But the Lions have been building for the long haul, Super Bowl contender, not just the 1 year flash in the pan. Anyways, UJ, I'm going on and on here.
Well, you're right. I mean, they're not bogging themselves down with huge contracts that a lot of teams make that mistake of doing. You know, the Bears did it with like Khalil Mack and a couple other guys.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I don't know why they do it. You know, you don't know why teams do this. Maybe just to appease the fans, they make a big flashy signing, you know, hopefully to keep them off their backs for a little while. But these guys, you know, like you said, Z, they had a plan coming in. And if you remember the second year of this group of people, you know, Campbell and Holmes, some of the fans are actually starting to call for their heads and stuff when they started the season, 1-6, I think it was, in the second season. And then Sheila had to come out and calm the fans down. Says, no, we're not firing anybody. We're sticking to a plan and all that. And then sure enough, the plan started showing the fruits of its labors. And all of a sudden now everyone's all happy. And, you know, because they stuck to a plan. And, you know, a lot of teams don't have that foresight, I think, long-term sight. And I just love the way they're playing. Like, I mean, I want to, it'd be fun year after year to know that we're just a contender, wouldn't it be nice? Instead of year after year, just hoping we'll win five games or six games or, you know, like, you know, I mean, how can you not love what these guys are doing? And I don't think we'll ever see them bog themselves down with a monster contract like that. Unless it's a franchise quarterback kind of thing.
Or Amon-Ra. Amon-Ra is going to get a big payday here, $26 to $28 million a year. So.
Yeah, he could be an exception too. That guy's just on another level.
Well, and he's a good health history, which is always important when you're making a extension like that. Like a lot of these guys, you know, I bet if you gave Chase Young, who is still a free agent, I don't think a lot of people liked his tape last year, especially his effort. if he gets that big like, imagine giving him $100 million. You think he's going to play like balls to the wall after he gets that money? No, that's why I don't think anybody's going to come close to giving him that type of money. Because that's the type of player he's been. But Amon-Ra, I think you feel good when you give him that money, because you know he's just gonna put his head down and get to work. He's that type of guy. He's gonna give his full 100% effort, and that's the type of guy the Lions have wanted in the building. You know, speaking of the Bears, you brought up UJ. They got DeAndre Swift. We'll see him twice now.
Yeah,
$8 million, and that makes the Montgomery contract look great. Actually, now $6 million a year. All these running backs getting like 8 to 9 to 10 to obviously Josh Jacobs top at $14 million, and Monty, I would argue, is up there with most of those guys. Maybe not the Barkley type, but extremely solid running back. And I think every other team in the NFL that signed those guys would have taken Montgomery at $6 million. For sure.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun matchup next year when, DeAndre Swift coming against us.
If he's healthy.
And we never seem to get the best out of him. He had his games with us, you know, where he showed his talent and then just didn't seem like he's like always close, but not quite there.
Well, he's got to stay healthy too. That's a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not playing behind that Eagles offense line like he had last year. So I think that did him some favors as well. Because if you go like watch him tape, he's like running through holes like as big as as wide as a semi truck. It's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So yeah, interesting. It'll be fun to play against him twice a year. But we got DJ Reader and crew to slow him down.
That's right.
So I'm not too concerned. Justin Fields apparently no trade market whatsoever. So I don't know if the Bears got any offers before, but I think they're regretting holding on to him. I'm surprised they held on to him.
Why don't we give him like a draft pick and take him as our backup? And then we'll just use him as an offensive weapon. I don't care. We'll use him as an offensive weapon, man.
Goal line.
His name over in New Orleans, you know.
Just put him on the goal line. Just, Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Who?
Taysom Hill. You said New Orleans.
Yeah, Taysom Hill. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. Exactly. So why not? Another weapon for us.
Well, I highly doubt that would happen. Extremely highly. But I like the outside the box thinking, UJ. I mean, the Lions probably would hold three quarterbacks. He's on a rookie deal still, so he's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a first round pick, so it's still.
You get him for 1 year. Just this 1 year. Hey, whoa, dude, think about it.
Right.
Just get him for 1 year. We'll give up a fourth round draft pick from 2029, something like that. And can you imagine just having him there available? Like, we just throw him out there doing anything. He can run the ball, he can go out for passes, he can quarterback.
That would be fun.
That would be interesting.
Well, they seem destined to be drafting Caleb Williams, which is not a shocker.
No, not a shocker.
Not a shocker at all. That'll be interesting to play against that, especially Aaron Glenn. He might have nightmares because Caleb Williams known for like running around and being a very mobile quarterback. And we know Aaron Glenn is just very good against mobile quarterbacks in his career, scheming wise.
Yeah, right. Right.
So he's going to have some fun there. But who, after the free agency too, UJ, you know, Kirk Cousins is leaving the division. He's going to Atlanta. So they signed Sam Darnold. You would assume they're going to draft a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy. It seems to be in their range unless they trade in the top three. Who do you think is the biggest threat in this division right now? Is it Green Bay, who got like Xavier McKinney? That was their big. Him and Josh Jacobs were two big signings. Xavier McKinney, the safety. The Bears, who are probably going to be drafting a rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams. They brought back Jalen Johnson. And a couple of like offensive linemen type moves. And then you got the Vikings, who they had a weird. So Kirk Cousins leaves. They signed two big D linemen. Not Danielle Hunter. He's not coming back. But Van Ginkle. I can't remember the edge guy that they signed. I can't remember for the life of me right now.
Grenard.
Oh, the guy I wanted for the Lions, Kennard from Texans.
Yeah.
They signed him. I was like, oh. Course, but so they're like building, they're trying to remain competitive, but like without the most important player. And then they get Aaron Jones. But anyway, sorry, I'm going on. But UJ, who do you think is the biggest threat in the division right now?
I'd have to say the Packers right now. I don't want to believe that, but I can't see anything else at the moment. I'm still not, even though Jordan Love had this resurgent year there, I'm not really a believer in him yet. I don't think he is the heir to Aaron Rodgers at this point. He could be. Maybe he is. I don't know. But I think the Packers, because every year they're consistently, you know, have put a winning team out there. And like you said, they build long term the way we're trying to do right now, and building their draft prospects because they're just consistent. The Bears, they're still in kind of a rebuilding mode. They could surprise you though. I mean, they got a lot of draft capital, and you know, and they can win games if they put it together. Minnesota, I think, is going to struggle without that quarterback though. I really do. I think they needed Kirk Cousins more than they realize. So I do see them trying to draft a quarterback this year. Sam Darnold is not the answer to anybody's.
No, I still have a small belief that he could be a good quarterback in the NFL.
I remember his first game, if I'm not mistaken, that was against us, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. But that was the first game of the Matt Patricia era. We know how that went. I mean, the first game was like the entire era, really. We should have just fired him right then. But no, it all worked out in the end because we got where we are today. Thank you, Matt Patricia, again. I've said it on this podcast before. I'll say it again. Thank you for bringing us Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. By us just doing the complete opposite of everything from his era. You know, that was really everything about free agency. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about on tonight's episode, UJ?
I think we covered it pretty good. I'm kind of, you know, excited about looking into the draft coming up. Start deep diving into some of these players that we're looking at. Very excited about the offensive line prospects. That's just, I'm a big on the O-line thing. I'm just looking forward to the draft. It's going to be fun. Drafting at the end of the first round is going to be a unique experience for us because we're not used to that. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really strange. I'm used to, like, you know, the Lions being a top 10, like, find out who we're going to get early nights, talk about the rest of the night. Now we got to sit back for 3.5 hours, 4 hours, however long, until like 11:30 to see who we draft. Yeah. So it should be fun. It should be fun. But we're going to get into all that in future episodes. I'm really looking at the draft because we're about, you know, 40 days out from it. And it's in Detroit this year. The draft is in Detroit.
Yeah.
So that should be cool to
see. City primeval.
That should be cool to see. But I think we're going to wrap it up here. So I want to thank SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. We appreciate that. I want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J. Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
All right. Crushes it every week. It's always interesting doing that with two folks.
UJ.
Because you got to go. I got to start. You go. Then we got to go. There you go. Anyways. Spotify, Apple, where you get your podcasts. Please download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. We look at them. We appreciate it. We take any feedback, good or bad. So send it to us. If you got a question or a voice message or anything you want to send along our way, a question to answer on the podcast, drinking the blue Kool-Aid at gmail.com. Send it there. YouTube at DTBK or drinking the blue Kool-Aid. Type it in on there. Subscribe to the channel so you get alerted when we do any sort of live things, or go back and look at what we said before. We're entertaining. We're good looking folks. We're going to look at for an hour talking about football.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Instagram.
He has not been drinking, folks. He has not been drinking.
I have not. But speaking of drinking the blue Kool-Aid on Instagram or at Drinking Lions on Twitter. You can follow us on there. Love your follow. Any comments you have about the free agency, your thoughts, give us a grade. What would you give a grade, by the way, UJ? I forgot to ask. What's a grade?
I would give this grade a solid B plus.
Yeah, I think B plus is, I think that's a perfect score. Yeah. I would also go B plus. That is what I had in my head. Glad we're aligned, UJ. Glad we're aligned.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think the last people to thank are our listeners. We want to thank you for waking up on a Friday morning or whenever you listen to this podcast, listening about everything going on in the Lions world in terms of free agency, the extension of Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, Chris Spielman staying around a while. The whole gang is coming back. Ben Johnson is back. Aaron Glenn is back. Everybody's back.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to be one hell of a year. This free agency only gets us more excited. And is it September yet, UJ? Does the season start?
This is March. The doldrums. These are the dull times.
Especially after the draft. After the draft.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
Then it's just summer.
At least leading up to the draft, it's a little dull for the next couple of weeks, but then get close to draft time, it's going to get a little interesting.
Right.
And the draft is always fun. And then, like you said, then it gets really dull.
Then it's just summertime, UJ, and then you got to go outside and do stuff.
Yeah. That's when it's time for
Sundays.
Us.
You got to do stuff on Sundays in the summer. Anyways. Everybody, we're going to wrap it up here. But thank you for listening. We greatly appreciate you. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions! Woo!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go,
go Lions!
Hey, we did it! We did it! All right, all right.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big.